Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, TJ. TJ, I think you're on mute.
Let me start over again. Ho, 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 and a Merry Christmas. How are you, Marco?
I am great. Leo's dialed in, so Doyle.
All righty, all righty. You know, that pre-Christmas show jitters, you know, Christmas is coming up, and, you know, we got to believe, right? If we can believe in Bigfoot, we can believe in Santa Claus, right? Because I still believe.
Got it.
Oh, my goodness. What a week. What a month. What a year.
I know.
Huh?
What a month it is. My gosh.
It's just.
Things are going so fast, you don't have time to catch up.
You know, I thought I still had a couple weeks to Christmas. You know, we're only, 6 or 7 days now, if that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Time just flies when you're having fun, right?
I know.
You know, and I didn't realize it was next week, and my grandson goes, next week? No, no. And I'm like, Kumi, what day is it? You know.
All my grandchildren are going to visit me here starting next week. They're off on their vacation.
That's beautiful. That's what Christmas is for. It's for the family. It's for friends. It's for enemies. And,
yeah, well, yeah. Well,
and everybody else. Yeah. What are you going to do for dinner?
Oh, I got ham and I'll have a roast, a bunch of roast stuff, ham,
yeah,
baked beans. You know, the old familiar baked bean thing and cranberry sauce and all that stuff. Baked green bean casserole.
Yeah.
Stuffing.
Hmm. Sounds wonderful. You know, as we all sit here with a few days left of Christmas and the year coming to an end, I think back to all the expeditions this year and how fast everything went and all the wonderful people that we met and places we've seen and, you know, broke bread with so many different people this year. Marco, we've added so many more groups and great folks to the team. And, you know, it's a good feeling, you know. It's a really good feeling, you know, to have Bigfoot bringing so many different types of folks together, you know. So
well,
no, Bigfoot,
it's really neat.
Yeah.
Think of all the people you made contact with this year.
Mm-hmm.
Good gosh.
Couldn't list them all on the show.
No, hundreds. There's a lot.
You know?
I went
yeah.
through my text messages here the other day, and mm-hmm. my God, I've got so many. That's not all of them. That's just that's
yeah.
just the people who were on the show. That's not even people that was that you guys met that wasn't that never made it to the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's every state. There's at least a dozen people in every single state. You know.
Oh yeah.
And it's an honor. It's a blessing. You know that we can do the things we do and make differences in some folks' lives, piss off other folks because, you know, they don't want to believe anything in the first place and make other people happy with nothing. You know, it's a crazy, wonderful, mixed up world. You know? And Bigfoot, a creature that doesn't exist, brought us all together. Which to me is one awesome thing. You know? Just one awesome thing. You know, I know we've got guests, but you know, I want to spend a little time just kind of thinking about last year and you know things that have happened and where we've been and things you've been doing. You know, I mean, we can talk about Bigfoot every week. We're going to get to our guest. I know we got Ron Johnson up in Pennsylvania, right?
Ron didn't make it.
Oh, okay.
Evidently, he fell asleep or something, but he. He didn't make it, but we do have Keith and Robin.
Kevin and Robin. Well, they used to be Pennsylvania, but, you know, they moved out. They're up in New York City. New York
right,
City!
Right, they're in New York now. They'll be on, and let's see, we got Rocky. We got Swede. We got Leo. And we got Doyle. That's who's on right now. And we got Ken trying to dial in. He was in there for a while, but he'll probably come back on here in a few minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Information.
It's all good. You know, Marco, what do you think, if you think back over the years, what was probably one of the most exciting shows that we've had? I know one pops into my mind, but I'm just curious about you, what you think.
Oh, man, there's so many.
Now
you know,
pick one.
You know, what we had, well, I can't remember the name. This guy had multiple contacts with
uh-huh.
this creature over a span of about 12 years or something. I can't remember his name. I can't. Oh, why? But
where was he?
He just had the descriptions and other things that he gave of the creature were so. I mean, so neat, real. I mean, my gosh. Very few times you get, you know, people who can even describe the face, facial features, and
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And they change.
Mm-hmm.
And they change because just like we, you know, we have different facial features on different people as well. And,
right.
But it's amazing. And, yeah, he We had him on for two shows, dang near the whole hour for both shows, going through his.
Do you remember what state he was in, Marco?
Huh?
What state was he in?
I can't even remember that. I got to go back and look at the.
How many years?
You know, at our playlist, yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, it was probably.
And one other guy we had earlier in the year, I don't think you or Tom even, you were both, all you guys were gone on expedition or something, and I had him on, and he was from, where was he from? Texas, I think. And he had amazing, his name was Jesse, I think, yeah. He had an amazing story. His stories are his encounters, and really neat. I mean, really, really neat. And two of them that stood out. But they're all good. I mean, people have all kinds of encounter experiences. Some, you know, more than others. But it's still amazing. I mean, it's just amazing. A creature that nobody knows that's not supposed to exist, and how many people have seen it. You
right.
See the it's amazing.
You know what sticks out in my mind? Well, there's one that sticks out in my mind because it was exciting, it was strenuous, it was long. Way back when, I want to say it was 2008. We tried one of those, hey, come on out, be with us, we'll do 4 days out in the woods, we'll teach you how to look for signs, cast tracks, use equipment. You know, back when Bigfoot and, God, this was well over 10 years ago, I'm guessing. Wow. And we had, you know, people from New York come in, and people were in Texas and California, and I remember Michigan and New Jersey and Florida, and we had five different teams, and we built a base camp over off of, we were in Paris, Texas then, and
yeah.
On the other side of Pat Mays Lake, we built a base camp, and God, it was, I'm thinking about the technology. So I'm
it was March of 2007.
Yeah, I'm going to digress here a little bit. Our video cameras, we had to make sure that we had battery packs hooked to them so that when we had them in the trees, they could transmit back to our base camp with a
right.
With our DVD player that had different screens on it. Like, you know, we were using the stuff that they used to use for, you know, security cameras that were night vision. And they're big and bulky and with antennas. And, you know, we'd set them up on the other side of the lake, and we had to make sure there was direct lines of sight. And we were teaching everybody about that. And, you know, we would sit around during the day and, you know, talk story after classes, you know, eating lunch, and we'd take little walks and learn the area. And we were had all the different teams set off to certain areas, not close to where the cameras were set up, but, you know, in the same vicinity. And out of the blue, a thunderstorm started happening. You know, nobody, it wasn't even in the forecast. And it was funny because we all have the radios, we got the base camp radio. Once the thunderstorm started, I want to say at least two or three of each of the groups, okay, started calling in sightings. You know, it was like, what?
Yeah,
you know?
Three out of five. I remember that. That
yeah, yeah.
Just like Indy.
Yep.
Three out of
yeah.
five.
And
three out of the five groups had a visual sighting.
Right. You know, one of them was thermal, two of them was with flashlights, and people were just flipping out, losing their mind, going nuts, you know. And here we are on the other side of the lake. Now, remember, here's the issue, here's the problem. We could take the 40-minute drive to drive all the way around, right? Or we
right.
had to take the rowboats, the canoes, and canoe across. So on the radio, we were having the show. We could hear the screams of the creature
yes.
through the radio. I remember that, okay?
Yeah.
Off of one
yeah.
of the bluffs. And all I wanted to do was get in that rowboat and, you know, go across the lake, you know. And, well, we ended up, I think I might have passed the phone off to Pop back then. And I got the rowboat with me and Lee Joyner, and there was some other guy, I don't remember. And we literally fought the waves, rowing across, Jim Snell, fought the waves, rowing across the lake in the middle of the night, you know, like idiots, right? Got over there, and the rain was blowing, the wind was picking up, going crazy. I remember coming up on Bob Schmalzbach's group, okay? And Bob, you know, he's always one of them forward thinkers, right? He had everybody down in the low-lying area in a ditch because he says it felt like tornado weather, which I think there might have been like a tornado in the area that night. I can't remember. He had them all laying flat and prone, and it was just – it was wonderful. That's one of my big memories of, you know, that week. We got back to our camp that night, and it was gone. All our tents were broken. The fiberglass poles were snapped. The one boat that we had that was on around a little curb got flooded. It was just something else. But everybody had a great time. Nobody complained. You know, we did the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Everybody started breaking down and picking up. But that was one of my funnest adventures besides, you know, running into the creature back there in 2006.
Well, that was one of mine too, Tommy, because I'll tell you what, you know what happened? One of the things that sticks out in my mind is one of the groups cornered a female. They could hear a baby screaming in the dark. And they cornered a female and hid behind a rock, a young female. And they started going towards it. The guy lost, I mean, everything went to hell in a handbasket. The guy lost his microphone trying to communicate with you guys, lost it in the mud. And they could see the thermal imagery, they could see the female popping its head up and down behind the rock, a big rock. I remember that. That was one of the three.
Wow.
And you guys, that scream that you heard across there that you guys went to, didn't you sink the boat?
We did sink the boat.
So many things happening. 70 mile an hour winds, for God's sake. Tornado type.
You know. We did sink the boat. We swapped another one. You know, we were just worried about getting over to the people and making sure everybody was safe because it got nutty. And there was a bonus of the creature everywhere, you know, so, wow.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
That's amazing. But, that was a pretty – actually, we did three shows, three 30-minute shows from that, and I had a four-hour special show with all the people that were involved in it. 35 people, 35, mm-hmm. not 35 people altogether, but 35 people for the groups. And it was broken down into five groups. And three out of the five had an actual visual encounter.
Marco, do we still have that on recording? Is that back up?
Absolutely, yes.
You know, that would be the perfect thing for the day after Christmas show. Is to have a four-hour
special. Oh, sure, I can do
like that.
What I'll do is I'll tie both of the 30-minute specials together.
Okay.
And it's pretty good. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
I mean, wow. Well, you know, we could reminisce here all day long, but I know we got the
I know. We need to get out there to Kevin, right?
You know, we got, you know, if you remember, about 2 years ago, we met this husband and wife. Actually, about 3 years ago, we met them on the phone first, and they started sending me pictures of footprints, tree breaks, you know, and this was all new for them. You know, they lived up in Amish country, and I can't remember how they got a hold of us, but they did, and we ended up driving up and seeing them and spending time on their ranch with their horses, and there no electricity. I'm sorry, had electricity. They had one light bulb going into a living room, I think, and then one in the kitchen. I think that was all the electricity they were allowed to have or something. But I digress. So we spent time with them, and we looked at the area. We had a few guys with us, and you could see the prints of the tree breaks. There's obviously an area where these creatures would come and feel safe because they'd bed down with the hogs, you know, out there. And, you know, Kevin, I think, even lost a horse to one of them at one point in time. But, you know, without any further ado, Kevin and Robin, no more of Pennsylvania, I'm now of New York. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Brother, I am doing
Can you hear
wonderful.
Us?
Yes, we sure
good.
Can. You sure can, you know. You know, Kevin, it's almost been 3 years. You know that?
I know. It doesn't seem possible.
I know. You know, it's crazy. I mean, time flies. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Totally flies. I mean, I think we went up to your guys' house twice, didn't we? Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We had a great time each time, too.
We went up in November, I thought. Yeah, first time was in November, wasn't it? Or was it in October?
I think it was.
You know, and we spent...
And then
you know,
the second time was like June or something like that.
Yep.
And your
yep.
dad came up with the group
yep,
and your son.
Yep, came out.
Since the last time we had gotten to see you, I
mm-hmm.
believe we sent you some pictures of a really big tree twist.
Yep.
We had gotten some castings of some footprints that were all around where the twist was. And then we hadn't heard from you in a while. After the news crew came out, thanks to your dad and everybody coming out there, there was another group of people who were so interested. They actually paid us a visit and wanted
uh-huh.
to see some of the things that we were able to show you. And when we knew we were going to move up here in New York, we gifted the castings to the man. His name, first name was Bill. I don't remember his last name, but he was a counselor,
oh,
teacher
remember.
In one of the schools.
Yes.
Yeah.
He actually called me. Check this out. Here's how nice this guy was. He called me and personally asked if it was okay if he contacted you, and because he knew that we were dealing with you. And I said, Bill, this is not like a thing that you hide from people. This is for everybody, you know. And
right.
If, you know,
right.
Robin and Kevin. If Robert and Kevin say yes, I don't care. Go up there. Go see the creature. Go find footprints. Go have a blast, you know. And I remember
right.
I was shocked that he called and asked me permission. And I was like, wow, go right ahead. Go, I'm sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
Well, that was good. I appreciate that you did that. But like you said, we wanted as many people to know about the creature. Our biggest problem was a lot of the neighbors who were not
Amish.
Unbelievers. A lot of the Amish thought it was a big joke and were poking fun. And, you know, so we got it calmed down. But, you know, with the non-believers, if some people have the idea that if they don't see it themselves, it can't be real. But
sure.
that doesn't mean it's true. But
exactly.
since we've been here in New York, we're up in the upstate New York area, not horribly mm-hmm. far from Syracuse. There
oh.
is a park here that we've heard had some sightings in the past, I don't know how long ago, called Highland Forest. We're not far from Casanova, stuff like that. We're in the country. And, you know, when you move, there's so much work to do, and so we haven't had a great deal of exploration, but Robin and I did go, and we found some branches. Actually, they're small trees, about five or six, right?
Yeah.
And
they're
all bent about the same height up, and we're bent all in the same direction. And we tried to send you some pictures of it. Hope you got them.
I did. I got them. I saw them. You know, it's odd. It's kind of strange and, you know, also exhilarating at the same time to see that because, you know, I mean, literally they were in a row. The ones that I could see
yep.
in the pictures where they were just bent over and they looked like arrows pointing the other direction, you know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
And we
like
have
that,
heard
you know?
Some vocalizations, but it's a little bit harder to hear during the summer because there's a lot of people that like to be on the lake out here during the summer,
uh-huh.
and it gets quite noisy.
But we did hear some vocalizations.
Yeah, we heard some kind of vocalizations that were unusual. And
not coyotes.
No, they're not coyotes. They weren't wolves or anything like that, but there's some kind of interesting vocalizations, but it was when basically like 11, 12 o'clock at night when most of the people are in bed.
Yeah, it happened twice, two nights in a row.
But since then, we haven't heard much of anything. We haven't had a lot of chance to explore yet, but now that we're kind of moved in now and settled, we're still looking for a few things, but everything's getting more like a home. We
right.
can actually start the exploration soon.
Outstanding. So, you know, I know where you used to live. Are you in an area that's country just like you were before, where you don't have property around you and all that? Or
On one side of our place, there are buildings. On the other
mm-hmm.
side, there are not, because we're actually living on a dam that holds the water back for the reservoir. They call it the Derrider Lake. And it's a man-made lake, like a lot of them in this area. But
mm-hmm.
we actually live on the road. They call Dam Road because the road is the dam holding the water back. But we're the very last house you can get to coming from the East Lake Road area. After that, everything is the dam until you get to the opposite side. There's like 20-some acres here. We got a nice barn for the horses. And
beautiful.
It's nice. Nice, a lot of animals here.
We're not near the Amish.
No.
You know, I was just sitting here thinking, I was hoping maybe Robin could share her story, you know, that she had about the creature back when she was in Pennsylvania, when she was walking back by the lake there, or the man-made little, what you call it, the swimming pond, horse pond.
Yeah, it was
you know
a little pond.
About, Robin? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping you could share that.
Yeah, I can tell you. it was around like 7:30 at night, and Kevin told me that he was going to go out to the cabin that he built by the pond, which is
mm-hmm.
in the horse pasture. And I had kind of fallen asleep, and when I woke up, it was like pitch dark out. So I went looking for him, and I was hollering his name, and as I went into the barn and out into the pasture, as I approached Kevin's cabin, that's when I heard the first knock. So I kind of went around where his door was to see if maybe he was inside. He wasn't. And as I had left the cabin, I heard the second knock. So I realized here I am out in the dark with a flashlight hollering for Kevin by myself. So as I continued to keep hollering for Kevin, I had moved the flashlight back and forth, and I think it was the last time I hollered for Kevin, he heard me and was coming from the trail up where one of the open fields was.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin hollered back at me, so I kind of positioned the flashlight where I could see maybe where he was, and as I positioned it to off to the right, there it was. I mean, this thing was walking very fast into the woods. I mean, it looked like it had a football uniform on. I mean, there was no neck on this thing. This thing was, I mean, the neck was massive. I was telling Kevin, it was massive. Long, black hair, I mean, and the stride was very fast. But I'm shocked that it didn't turn and just look at me. But I had the whole flashlight just lit up on the whole back body of it. And
wow.
And as soon as it heard Kevin, that's when I moved the flashlight quick to see where Kevin was, and when I put it back, it was gone. But that thing, I don't even know how tall that thing was. It was huge. Huge. I mean, I took him. No, it wasn't a bear. Bears don't walk up like that. And not that big. Kevin hollered to me if I was all right, and I think I just lost it because I was so frightened. I mean,
sure.
Just to see I mean, just to see that, I mean, and the sound months earlier, prior to that, I can still hear the sound that it made in my mind. It has never left my head, my brain. I mean, I think it imprinted the sound on all three of us, my daughter, my husband, and myself. But, I mean, it's like if I tell people look at me like, yeah, you're nuts, you're crazy. But I got to see it for myself. I mean, it's like they didn't harm us when we were there. They didn't grab one of us. They didn't harm my horses. I mean, it just, you know, I think they were more kind of curious about us. They knew that we wouldn't bring them any harm. I mean, just hearing their knocks at night, their howls, and the whoops, and finding the footprints. I mean, right out in my backyard, behind my barn, in the pasture. I mean, it is amazing. I mean, I just, you know, we even found footprints in Paul, Kevin's sister's boyfriend, couldn't even do the stride. He's 6 foot something, and he couldn't even do the stride to them. So I think they were going across to our pasture into the field of our landlord and back. Mm. But anybody that's ever seen one, I mean, I wish I knew how they felt when they saw one. You know, it's just, I think it's just so honored. Overpowering, overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like being honored with something, you know, I mean.
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah,
having that opportunity to see something that most people have never seen in their life. It would be like, you know, these bird hunters that go out and they spend their whole life looking for a certain bird. And once they find it, you know, it's a quest.
Yeah.
You know, it's a quest.
Yeah.
And that's what people should really think about, you know.
Yeah.
I miss them. A privilege.
I miss them.
Yeah. It's like a privilege just to have that chance of being able to see something.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there, Kevin. A privilege.
Yeah.
It's a privilege. It's an honor that you've been chosen, you know, to see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How
massive they are, you know, how tall they can be. I mean, the muscling on them. I mean, they can move quicker and faster than, I mean, it's like, wow, you know, it's neat. I mean, you know, just to, I mean, do research on them and see where, you know, the hot spots are and where they pop up and, you know, even all the other people's, you know, experiences and stuff, you know, it's wonderful.
The one picture I had gotten to see that you guys allowed us to see, I think it was up in Canada. They're talking about the different kinds of Bigfoot, some with 3 toes, some with 4, some with the 5 toes that are more human-like. And there was a picture we got to see that you guys shared with us of the one that had the face like a wolf or a dog or a baboon or something, carrying what looked like a dog of some sort. That was so amazing just to be able to see something like that. I said, wow, I could see where people might think of the werewolves or something, you know, because it looked amazing to me. But,
well, you know, I mean, people call them the violent side of Bigfoots, you know, they call them dogmen. They call them dogmen.
Dogmen.
You know? Yeah, to me, they're just a different offshoot of the creatures, you know. I mean, just like us, we're all different. So are they.
Yep.
You know, some of them have to, you know, evolve a little bit differently, you know, like Cro-Magnon and Homo sapien and, you know, the different types of, you know, humans that were on the planet back then. They were all a little different, you know. And these dog men, they you know, they hunt, they kill, they eat, you know, they like the taste of meat. You know,
I believe it.
They take the animals, you know. I remember you said that, you know, one of your calves disappeared. Did you remember that? Or did
one of our goats. We had a goat that came up, and then we also, we are not 100% sure about the horse you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Was one of our baby horses.
That's right.
We called the horses in, and the horses were actually spooked. We had trouble getting them to come into the barn. They were snorting and putting up a big stink. And we finally got them all in, but the baby didn't come in. And that's when Robin and Amber and I had gone looking for her. And it was at night. We had like one or two lights with us. And I think I'd gone without a light, and I wasn't afraid of anything out there, at least at that time. But there were some vocalizations that we weren't used to near where the fence was. And we had gone to see if maybe it was the baby caught in the wires or something. We couldn't find anything. And so when our landlord's son came to help, we had found her and she was dead. Like she was laying down next to a log, like she'd fallen asleep or something. But we found her dead laying next to a log. And we don't know why she died for sure. But we heard heavy footsteps following us, vocalizations that we never heard before that give you goosebumps. And then we found her dead. So we're just wondering.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
You know, TJ, the two wolf dog face, the dog face, the others, there's about three different areas where they have been saw quite frequently. One, Wisconsin, it's called the Beast of Bray Road. And we had the author of a book that has tracked him for 18 years or more.
Mm.
Yeah, we had her on our show several times, Linda.
Please, go ahead, Marco.
She wrote the book on it. This other place that he's seen a picture of the one carrying the dog was from Seven Chutes in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
The Seven Chutes are the Seven Waterfalls. Yeah, and then there's a couple others. We had an incident in Minnesota, in the northern part of Minnesota, mm-hmm. where it was on top of a cabin stamping of the roof.
Whoa.
And we had two others, one in West Virginia and one in, I think it was Georgia. So, it's more than
That's
one
amazing.
Person. You can go on the internet and see different, videos and things that people's thought of. But the ones that he's seen on that picture were pretty substantial. It was pretty neat.
It's amazing.
But they all look the same. There's hand drawings of them that people have made. So
mm-hmm.
I just thought I'd throw that in for you.
Well, that's cool. I'd like to see if I can look those things up. I'd like to.
Well, I might be able to help you.
That would be nice.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take away.
No.
Jump in there.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
You jump in how you want. This is your show, too,
And if you didn't say anything, how would I know?
Exactly. You know, I think we got another 15, about 17 minutes. Bring everybody in. Let's have a little conversation the last 15 minutes of the show, Marco. And, let's just
Absolutely.
Kind of throw stuff
Here
back
we
and
go.
Forth. And let's speculate
Doyle,
some guesses and have theories.
Come on, Doyle. Here we go. Doyle's on.
Hello.
Doyle, my brother.
Leo is on.
Who Leo, my brother.
The Swede is on. Almost gone. The Swede is on. Rocky is on.
And the Swede.
Ken is trying to dial back in. He dialed in twice and dropped off. He's having problems, but he may come
That's
on in a
fine.
Little bit.
You know.
Hey, Rocky.
How is
brother.
Everybody this evening?
What do you say, Mr.
Where do you
Leo? Leo?
Hey, it's good to hear from all you guys. This pre-Christmas show, What do you guys
TJ.
Think about? Yeah, go ahead.
It's not ho, ho, ho.
It's who brought you? Who brought you?
That's fun.
Leo, you have to tell everybody because they're going, why are they saying that? So, you know, tell the audience why.
Well, we went on a expedition here in North Carolina. And we were sitting around. And I had to show TJ a video I've seen of this guy in Canada who claims to talk to Bigfoot, and he had named the Bigfoot Nefertiti. Well, he had me going there for a little bit. Make a long story short, I know we got short time on the show. In one of the episodes, he talks to Nefertiti. He says, Nefertiti, I come to visit you. And all of a sudden, you can see his buddy in the background. He disappears. And from the background, you hear him say, who brought you? Like a Bigfoot talking. And we thought that was hilarious. So every time TJ and I greet each other, we say, who brought you?
Yeah. You know, it's our little fun way of messing with idiots on the internet, you know. You know, and folks, let me just square stuff away, you know. You've got to understand YouTube. If you see something on YouTube, 99.9% of the time, it's not real. It was put up there so they can have subscribers and hits and for you to subscribe to their channel because they get paid to have people come to their YouTube channel and like and comment and look. Okay, so please, don't get all bent out of shape because some guy has something running through the woods and it's furry and it's a Bigfoot. If he hasn't been around in the Bigfoot community and he's not a real researcher and he just pops up with all this footage, and it happens like, you know, 9 or 10 guys a year pop up with all this Bigfoot footage and they throw it on YouTube, it's not real. We would have heard about it. Because, well, people are greedy and they want money. And nobody else but we're going to be able to get them any kind of money for a creature.
Exactly right.
Be straight out and honest. You know, so don't waste your time. Don't do it. God. You know.
Bigfoot jackasses
Doyle,
is what I call them.
They are jackasses, aren't they?
They are.
Mr. Doyle Housman, we haven't heard from you in a while. Thought you fell off the planet.
Oh, no, baby. I've been doing my own research. I've been to Kettle Island, Kentucky. I went up there in Kettle Island. I just proved that one meth head that said that he had Bigfoot living under a single-wide trailer.
Well, you were going to update
us. Proved
that
right. One.
Tell us about it. What happened?
A guy called your dad. He called the Godfather, and he said that he had juvenile Bigfoots that would come in and live under his mobile home at night. Okay?
Okay.
Some bitch didn't realize that he called the deputy sheriff. The only thing that some bitch had was a meth lab.
What a maroon.
Yeah. Well, we knocked on his door the next day and said, "You're under arrest for producing methamphetamine." He's like, "Hell, what am I going to do about feeding this to my big feet?"
Oh my goodness.
He was claiming he was making meth to feed to the big feet.
Well, oh my God.
Anyway. You talk about a crazy son of a bitch.
Yeah. It's your brain on drugs. Here's your brain on meth. Oh, my God.
Too much moonshine.
I'll leave that one to you all as long as you want to go.
All right. Wow. You know. God. How's the family doing? How's the little mug doing?
Well, my little boy is growing up. He's going to be driving next month. It's It's unbelievable. I mean, I just can't remember when, you know, him and Jackie were playing T-ball together. And I was coaching
right.
those kids. That was just unbelievable.
Welcome to Glen Chocolate Chip Cookies.
That is crazy, isn't it?
That is crazy. It just seems like yesterday. We were having T-ball parties in the backyard. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do know what you're saying. T-ball parties and looking for Bigfoot. You know, it's just the way it goes. Another year has just cruised on by. Life gets better as we get older with age. You know what I mean?
I hope I get better with, like, wine. I hope I get better with age.
Doyle, you turn into vinegar, brother.
I love you, Tommy. I love you, brother.
I love you, too, man. You guys, you're just
and
awesome,
I love
brother.
Lucky Slavin, and I love the Swede, and I love everybody in this Bigfoot world, man. I can't wait to get back with y'all again.
Sure. You know, we're all big, one giant family, you know. And that's what we are. That's what we do. We're a big, giant family. Looking for Bigfoot, and I wanted to make sure I spent some time letting you folks know that Rocky and the Swede and Leo and
Marco. I'm
telling
you right now, I've got a 14-year-old boy that thinks that Rocky Slavin hung on the moon.
Well,
for anybody that don't know,
Rocky got the Rocky Slavin dad.
For anybody that don't know it in the Bigfoot world, if you think there ain't a bad man in this world, go out there on YouTube and find Rocky Slavin wrestles a bear.
It's out there.
Now that's a man right there, baby.
I still don't know
that
why
was,
you,
that
you,
was
you, you, you wrestle the alligator.
That was the younger man that wrestled the bear.
It sure was. But still, we know that man, whether he's young or old. Yeah, it's an honor. It's an honor. You know? God. You know? But, you know something? I know a man. Well, I'm gonna tell a story that Rocky told me about Rocky and Swede. It's one I never forgot. Actually, Rocky, you tell it. And it's about moving them big old tree logs. Oh. You guys had to lift up. Go ahead.
Me and the Swede used to work together years ago. And back then, you know, I was big into the bodybuilding thing. Well, we was having to move some landscape timbers. Well, I picked one up and I started around the house with it. And on the way back, I met Robert, the Swede, carrying one. So, well, I picked up two. The next go around had one on each shoulder. And when we met going around the house, he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well," I said, "you know," said. "Yeah, I'm just doing this. I know that you can't do it, but, you know, I just thought I'd, you know, take some of the load off of you." So I went and dropped them, and when I was coming back around the house, here comes the Swede with one on each shoulder. And then when the Swede come back around the house, he got down because I was standing there trying to figure out some way to carry three of them at the same time. And it just wasn't working out. I'd already beat all the meat off my shins and everything trying to load three of them up at once. But
yeah,
but he didn't.
What I'm saying,
but we didn't either one get the three accomplished. But yeah,
these two gentlemen that are built like brick houses
the size of monsters, and they try to outdo each other no matter what they're doing. They went on a hike for Rocky's, I think, 60th birthday, and they ended up walking like 150 friggin' miles because neither one of them wanted to give up.
It was 225.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Type in
Okay, now, I made the Swede promise me, or I tried to get him to promise me, that if I ever come up with an idea that stupid again, that he would say, no, Rocky, we're not going to go do that. But anyhow, it won't happen again. Fortunately, I'm only 61. But, yeah, we made it.
Yeah, bull.
I was probably 3 inches shorter by the time we got done.
Rocky, that was the time when you guys ran into that one guy that was, of course, kind of weird. He had his shotgun out and all that stuff. And he showed you a metal cage that they had ripped open?
Yeah, it had the coons. There's two of them.
Yeah,
there was, it was the expanded metal. I don't know if you know what that means, but it's something that, you know, an Arkansas bear ain't going to tear open. But that thing was peeled, it had the top peeled back like a sardine can. And he had pet coons. And something had ripped the top off both of the cages. Just peeled them back, and well, there's no coons left.
Got gobbled up, or did they get away?
No, they didn't get away.
No, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, something that can peel one of those things back the way it was. I'm betting the coon. I'm betting the coon got extincted real quick.
I believe that. I believe it. He didn't get a chance.
Well, no, but whatever opened it up, I think they got pretty healthy meals that night.
Yeah, I believe you. They had to want
them
bad enough to get
them. The other thing is you guys ran into a few of those farmers that were a little bit leery about letting anybody in their land, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we was kind of leery a couple of times of even when we was walking out through there. We walked out in the clearing and realized we was right in the middle of somebody's marijuana patch. So that bothered us more than anything else because we really wasn't wanting to get shot while we was out there, but. Yeah, we met some pretty shady characters while we were doing our walkabout.
You know, Rocky, speaking of being shot at, I remember seeing something the last couple of days. They made this new .45, I think it was made by Colt. It's a solid gold, and it's called the Trump 45. Did you see about that weapon?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God.
I saw it.
I'll break that over here then. Yeah. I'm all about
that. Me to that.
Well, it's the Trump 45. You know why? Because the 44th didn't work for about 8 years.
I love it. Let me tell you
something.
Oh,
my God.
Hey, anybody that don't like Donald Trump is a dumbass. Don't come to this country.
I'm glad this is our own show there, Doyle. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Doyle, you're going to have to get over your shyness.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Doyle, I wish
okay.
you would speak your mind. Doyle, I wish
you know, folks,
mind,
down
man.
To about 3 or 4 minutes left of the show. I want to hit each one of you for the last words. We're going to start with Leo this evening.
Hey, folks, Merry Christmas from the Bigfoot world. And guess what? Who brought you?
Merry Christmas to you also, brother. And we're going to hit the Swede up next.
Who's that?
This was The Swede may be asleep.
Well, that's,
I think I
that's
heard
his
him
loss.
Snoring in the background.
Yeah,
Doyle?
That's about right.
Last word, my friend.
Last word, my friend, I'll tell you right now. Guys, keep bigfooting, keep hunting, keep looking, keep watching. Rocky Slavin's my hero. He's my boy's hero. And keep wrestling bears, Rocky, because you never grow old as long as you wrestle bears.
Awesome. Rocky, your last words.
I want everybody to know how much I love this family. These Bigfoot guys that I've been running with these last few years, I just can't say enough about the great times that I've had. And you just can't beat them. They're the best.
Thank you.
And Marco Bill. We can't forget
well, what about
Marco
Kevin?
Bill, because without Marco Bill, we wouldn't be here.
All right. Last
Thank
word,
you, Rock.
Kevin and Robin.
Yeah, we're hoping everyone is safe for the holiday. And don't give up on your searches. We believe in everything that you're able to look for. The things we've gotten to see has been great, and it's been great having you guys as friends, your family to us.
And come on out and visit Adam. Us in New York.
You
State
got
York.
It, darling. You got it. Folks, that's another year almost done with the Bigfoot Live Radio Show with Marco Bill, myself, TJ. Make sure you check us out at searchingforbigfoot.com. Go out to Amazon. I think they got our new movie up on the Prime. You can check that out there. It's Brutal Bigfoot. Don't forget, next week, we're going to have that four-hour expedition out in Paris, Texas, where we've got some crazy stuff happening we talked about earlier at the beginning of the show. And Marco, before we say goodbye, what about your last words?
Well, I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And I think everybody knows how much I appreciate everybody that we've had on our family here. I think 15 years I've been together with Tom and you guys. But I think 14 years for the show. And it's amazing. It's a part of me. So I thank everybody for being a part of our family.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, folks, I guess I got to come up with something because Miss Calabas ain't going to cut it this evening. You know, here's my last words. Next year, let's all get together. Let's all work together as a group across this entire United States, even the planet if we want. No more fighting, no more arguing, no more saying who's found him, who's not, who doesn't know what's going on. Let's prove to the world that this creature exists, and we can all say we found him together. Folks, see you next in the new year. Good night.
Good night,
everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live Radio Show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for the facts.